And here we are. And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game, no time left on the clock. With one more point, they'll pull out the win. Here's the snap. Holder puts it down. The kick is up. And the extra point is good. The NFL exporter has done it again.
What's up, everybody? It's the NFL Exporter checking in. This is the debut edition of the Extra Point Sports Talk Show, live on Fantasy Sports and Politics. Once again, I'm your host, the NFL Exporter. I'd like to thank you very much for joining me on this first Monday after week one of NFL football. And so we've got a great show lined up for you today. For everybody who doesn't know, I may have not been with us the last couple of weeks to know exactly what the show is about. Every Sunday, we do the master plan with Jerry Taylor, and we do predictions for fantasy football as well as our predictions as far as stats and things like that are concerned. And then we come back here on Mondays on the Extra Point. We go back over all our predictions that we made on the show yesterday. Victor Gardner, he checked in with us as well. And then we're going to get you all set up for fantasy football tonight, which we got a great doubleheader. This is the only Monday that that happens, the first week of the season. We have the New York Giants traveling to play the Detroit Lions. And then we also have the San Diego Chargers making a short trip to the next trip to the next state over to play the Arizona Cardinals. So we've got a lot of great football for you. We're going to start off the show today with the biggest news coming in from the NFL, which is the Ravens running back Ray Rice has had his contract terminated by his team, the Baltimore Ravens, and the NFL has suspended him indefinitely. And so if you have Ray Rice on your fantasy football team, you want to get rid of him immediately because he will not be playing one single snap this season. In the NFL. Now, for those of you who don't know exactly how this happened, over the weekend, video footage was released showing Ray Rice in the elevator with his then fiance and now wife. Now, when Rice originally received his suspension, it was based on video surveillance showing Rice just pulling his unconscious girl, dragging her out of the elevator. Well, the video footage that was inside of the elevator showed Ray Rice hit her two times. I've only seen it twice myself, so I can't tell if one of the hits was a open hand, but I know the second looked like a closed fist punch to the midsection area. And the unfortunately, the young lady fell unconscious and hit her head on the looks like to be the elevator wall. It looked like she was kind of unconscious on the way down. So I'm certainly not the type of person who likes to bash anybody. I know that since the incident, Ray Rice and his now wife have spoke to Commissioner Roger Goodell. They are planning on being real instrumental in raising awareness about domestic violence. Now, with Rice being banned from the NFL, I don't know if he's still going to be making those efforts directly through the NFL, but this was a big blow, obviously. The NFL wanted to address this issue immediately as this news came in. And so I certainly wish Ray Rice the best. Hopefully, you know, him and his wife can resolve their problems, follow through on their original promises and guarantees, which is both of them said that they would get out and really help individuals try to do a better job, you know, in regards to this area's concern. And so, again, if you have Ray Rice, you certainly want to get him off your fantasy football team. The two players behind him is running back Bernard Pierce, but also Justin Forsett looked really good, and he was the guy who had the touchdown and gained the major yards today. So those would be two players that you would want to fill in. Now, before we continue on, if you're a guest on the show, if you would like to be a guest on the show, I'd love to hear from you live today. Feel free to call in. The number that you're going to call is 347-637-3220. Once again, that is 347-637-3220. All right, now that we've got that out the way, let's go ahead and get on with our show. Give me one second here. We have a caller on the line. Let's see who's trying to check in with us. All right, who do we have with us calling in today?
Well, well, well. It's Mr. FSP, Mr. Vic Gardner in the place. What's going on, Lance?
I'm doing well. We got Victor Gardner in the building with us today. We certainly like that. How's everything going with you today, sir?
Thank you. Thank you for the applause. Thank you for the applause. Hey, you know I couldn't let you go on your inaugural show without showing up, and I have to do what I said I was going to do a couple of shows ago before your inaugural show. I promised the listeners that I will come on here and talk about the match between Jerry and I, but I'll do it on your time. Whenever you want to bring it up, it doesn't have to ever be brought up if you don't want to. I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, the listeners out there, people that are going to listen to this afterwards and everything, this guy knows what he's talking about. Otherwise, I wouldn't have given him a chance. Very intelligent. Very, very intelligent. Unfortunately, he has to compete against me when it comes to that department because I'm a little better. But Lance,
that's something else.
Lance is very, very knowledgeable and will provide you great insight, especially Sundays on the Master Plan. He's going to follow up and back up what he says Sunday on the Extra Point. I mean, I'm telling you, the kid knows what he's talking about. Unless he's trying to debate me. And, you know, I wish him nothing but success. And we're going to try to get some big names on here to help push this show. So with that being said, Lance, the floor is yours. Bring me in when you want to. Otherwise, I'm going to be quiet.
All right, not a problem. All right, so once again, that was Victor Gardner. He's going to be with us on the show today. We're certainly going to get to that matchup and get a lot of good fantasy football insight, information, see how Vic has quite a few leagues, so we'll let him touch base on that and definitely focus on last Sunday on a master plan. Jerry, as well as Victor, drafted in their keeper league, so we're certainly going to focus on that as well. So once again, let's give a round of applause for the NFL Exporter, for the Extra Point, and Victor Gardner and everybody here that's making it happen on fantasy sports and politics. All right, so the way that we're going to do this is first and foremost, let's go ahead and take a look at our duds from yesterday. These are players that you spent some pretty high picks on for the most part. I would say everybody I'm looking at, with the exception of probably two people. Everybody else should have been, three people. With the exception, everybody else should have been picks within the first four rounds. So starting off, this is our list of players who were dud yesterday. Definitely let you down. Tom Brady, he's one of those guys who was not in the first four rounds. Nonetheless, he had 249 yards, two fumbles, only was able to come up with 10 points. We know that Tom Brady's much better than that. Jamaal Charles of the Kansas City Chiefs, boy, I don't know where he was yesterday. The Titans defense, we talked about that yesterday on the show. Very underrated, but we did not see this coming. Jamaal Charles, only 2 points. He only had 7 carries for 19 yards and another 10 or so yards through the air, so I'm quite sure his owners were very dismayed. Ben Tate from the Cleveland Browns, another guy that may have not been a top four pick, but certainly was a running back that people were using as a number two running back. or in their flex position, only had 4 points, left the game early with an injury. We're certainly going to touch base on him a little bit later when we get to our top ads for your fantasy football teams off the waiver wire this week. Demaryius Thomas, the star wide receiver for Denver Broncos, only 48 receiving yards yesterday. I know a lot of people were dependent on him. Vincent Jackson, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, only 30 yards receiving yesterday. His teammate, Doug Martin, 0 points yesterday, left the game in the second quarter with a leg injury. So that lets you know between Vincent Jackson and Doug Martin, they're two-star players. Carolina's defense appears to be real and ready to roll this year. We're going to touch base on them a little bit later as well. Eddie Lacy, a lot of people definitely with a top five or six fantasy pick, only 4 points in Thursday night matchup against Seattle, left the game with a concussion. We're certainly going to be checking on his status for the week. How about Jason Witten, another guy that probably wasn't in the top four, but he was rated number five and six respectively on everybody on the show's fantasy football tight end rankings. 1 point yesterday. Aaron Rodgers, 9 points Thursday night against Seattle. Dez Bryant missing in action yesterday. They're saying that he suffered from fatigue, but from what I've seen, the hit that he took on the on Romo's second interception, I think that had more to do with it than anything. He was taking some higher hits out there by that San Francisco defense. Only 5 points by him. I think the most interesting guy, and I'm going to get back to Lacy too. Let me throw in as well, Frank Gore. I know he may have not been a top four pick, but a lot of people had him in their lineups. Only 6 points yesterday. We're going to touch on him later because Carlos Hyde is on our ad list. And then I think the two biggest, I don't want to say disappointments, but people hate when this happens here. Now, Alfred Morris from the Washington Redskins, I've seen the same thing happen to him that I did last year, and I don't see any reason for it. Last year, the Redskins were down a lot in games. So Alfred Morris would be eating defenses up on the ground, but the Redskins would get away from running the ball and really hinder what his stats could be. I've seen the same thing happen yesterday. I'm looking at Alfred Morris, 91 yards on only 14 carries. And they only lost the game really on two plays, really. It was a pretty even game. Neither offense did a whole lot. It was a blocked punt for a touchdown, and DeAndre Hopkins, the wide receiver for Houston, got loose in the secondary for a long touchdown. So there was no reason that Alfred Morris should have stopped running the football. And then also he had a goal line chance, but they gave it to the fullback as well. And so that was a possible touchdown that he could have had. The same thing happened to Eddie Lacy on Thursday night. And I know as a fantasy owner, there's nothing more than you hate to see than your team get in scoring position and the team decide to run a fullback in for a touchdown instead of giving your star running back the touchdown. So all of those players that I just mentioned certainly type of respect having that at all. Let's let Victor jump in. Victor, yesterday, were there any other players that I may have missed or you just want to, expound on a little bit as far as who, these were top picks and they just did not show up yesterday?
You hit them all on the head for me. I'm going to really focus in on a few, though. Alfred Morris wasn't a disappointment. It was the play calling, just like you said. It was the play calling. I lost a wager because of a few dumb, boneheaded moves on the Redskins' part, but Alfred Morris got vultured because of a fullback dive. And I can understand the play calls. Everybody thinks that it's going to be, Alfred Morris. Everybody's thinking that. And, it's the art of surprise. However, the two that I really got upset about was Doug Martin. In any format, Doug Martin got you maybe 1 to 2 points. In a standard format, it was probably zero. So that was a big disappointment. I really was surprised by a move with Tom Brady and, him not slinging the ball around, the Patriots not being as productive as I thought they would be. Miami really surprised me. But a play I told people about, and people said, nah, he's going to be spending time with Lamar Miller. No Sean Marino, ladies and gentlemen. 23 carries. 134 yards. Then you also had Terrence West up in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
16 rushes, 100 yards. Ben Tate, I believe he had 8 or 9 rushes for 60 yards or something like that. But these are some just Carlos Hyde took that touchdown away from Frank Gore.
Mm-hmm.
And also down in Atlanta, they used all 4 running backs. 2 of them got a touchdown. Jaquez Rogers got one, and then the other rookie running back got the other passing touchdown. So that was fun. And a guy that I told everybody about that you wanted to get on your fantasy team if you could was Matt Ryan. 448 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. He's the exporter, but I'm FSP for a reason. I'm done.
All right. Sounds good. So you heard that. All right. Now let's jump into the guys who performed at a very high level yesterday. Some of these guys were top picks. Some of them were not. Nonetheless, and just a quick update for everybody who is watching the game right now, Matt Stafford just hooked up with Calvin Johnson for a touchdown. So if you have Megatron or you have Matt Stafford, and that was a 67-yard hookup. When you see the instant replay, I have no idea how Calvin Johnson could be so wide open. This showing, let's see here on the replay real quick. Let's see here.
I believe
Dominic Rogers Cromartie had to fall or something. But I've got Matt Stafford in my Yahoo League. I've got Calvin Johnson in my ESPN League. So that is a hookup that bowls well. Oh, yeah, Calvin, he just caught Rogers Cromartie. Secondary just got lost. So anyway, if you have Calvin Johnson, you got 12 quick ones on the board. I don't know if your league has any type of bonuses for touchdowns over a certain amount of yards or may have. You have Matt Stafford. He's on the board with a 67-yard touchdown. So both of those guys certainly were in line for a big play. Obviously, Calvin Johnson with 12 minutes left in the first quarter and already 67 yards. He'll be well over 100 today. And Matt Stafford looked like he's well on his way, so we would like to see that. All right, let's go ahead and jump into our stars. We're definitely going to give these gentlemen here a round of applause. Came out this past week and definitely made it happen out there. First and foremost, we got to start off. Victor just mentioned him. This was a steal. Along with Tom Brady, even though it didn't show up yesterday, but Phillip Rivers, Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons was a guy who I was seeing going in the 8th, 9th, and 10th round. And to be able to get a quarterback of his caliber, it gets lost under the radar. Back in 2012, he had a monster year. And I tell people all the time, even last year, if you look at all the talk was about Tom Brady, how great of a year he had, and without his weapons, well, how about Matt Ryan played last year, 11 games without Julio Jones, basically no running game, a poor offensive line, and a hampered-up Roddy White up until maybe the last 4 or 5 games of the season, still threw for 4,500 yards, still threw for 26 TDs, and 19 of his interceptions came in one game, excuse me, 4 of his 19 interceptions came in one game against Arizona. So Matt Ryan showed yesterday he's still an elite quarterback, especially when he has all of his weapons intact, 448 yards, 3 TD. He was our top fantasy football performer for the entire day. The other quarterback who shined yesterday, even though it wasn't a losing cause, was Andrew Luck of the Indianapolis Colts, threw for 370 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then Peyton Manning, as always, chipped in 3 TD passes. And so that was a good look. We're going to run through this list rather quickly because we want to make sure we touch everything. And being the week one of the NFL season, certainly a lot of cover. So I'm just going to run through it, give any stats for anybody who was necessary. Le'Veon Bell, 196 all-purpose yards in the TD, got off to a monster start. Steve Smith from the Baltimore Ravens, we touched base on, we don't know who the Ravens lead guy is. I'm not saying that's going to be the case, but Smith certainly showed he had some presence. How about Mark Ingram for the Saints, 60 yards, 2 TDs. DeAndre Hopkins, 89 yards, a touchdown. We know the bulk of his yards came on one play. Mike Wallace had 80 yards and a touchdown. Darren Sproles played a big part. You can see that Philadelphia is going to use him an awful lot. So we have him more as a flex play. This guy may end up being a number 2 wide receiver based on situation. Chris Ivory, for the New York Jets, very high runner. We know the Jets are going to run the football an awful lot, had over 100 yards. Andy Dalton for the Bengals, he held his own yesterday. No turnovers, 300 yards, had the big TD strike to A.J. Green. Let's see here. The thing that you do like about LeSean McCoy, Matt Forte, and we're throwing Giovanni Bernard, who showed that as well yesterday. Even though those guys did not get in the end zone, did not have the best days running, all of the above, McCoy, Forte, and Bernard, due to their dual threat, got in double digits. So you got to like that. How about Julius Thomas yesterday? 104 yards, three TDs. Helped me out when in my ESPN league, but I played Matt Ryan and Julius Thomas in my Yahoo league yesterday, so I didn't work out there well. Marshawn Lynch, we know Beast Mode got off to a great start on Thursday night with 110 yards, two TDs. A couple guys who are going in later rounds, so you can see big-time possession receivers, they're going to make an impact this year. Anquan Boldin and Reggie Wayne, 99 rushing yards. Arian Foster got off to a good start yesterday, did have a fumble, but was able to get over 100 yards. We talked a lot about him in the preseason, his back, new offense. Well, he certainly looks very good as long as he can stay healthy. Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, that is Jerry's connect. I know he's very proud of that. Roethlisberger, Jerry predicted it, over 300 yards yesterday. I did not see that coming on Cleveland's D, 365 to be exact. And I got to give this Antonio Brown his credit. This guy, he doesn't have the size. I mean, he's not talked about, but I got to give it up, man. This guy, he's a football player. He gets the job done. Antonio Brown, 116 yards, two TDs. Rookie Brandon Cooks, rookie Calvin Benjamin. Both of those gentlemen got off the strong starts yesterday. Brandon Cooks, 77 yards, picked up about another 15 yards on the reverse. He had a TD. Calvin Benjamin had the best catch of week one. He had 92 yards and a touchdown. And then Vernon Davis did his thing, two TDs on 44 yards. And Jeremy Maclin, who is somebody that Victor has on his squad, 97 yards and a touchdown. And so all of those players came out and had strong weeks. And now what I'm going to do, I'm going to let Vic get in on this before we move over to our top ads of the week. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, last week we did a draft Victor and Jerry are in, it's their keeper league. Victor, his keeper, the two players that he kept from last year were Aaron Rodgers and Giovanni Bernard. To round out his lineup, he's got Reggie Bush, who played tonight, Emmanuel Sanders and Torrey Smith played yesterday, Greg Olsen, backup Carson Palmer. He's got Dwayne Bowe, Noshawn Moreno, LeGarrette Blount. He's got a couple other players he'll fill in for you. And then his defensive guys were Luke Kuechly and Vontaze Burfict, who was beasting out there before he left the game with a concussion. So I'm going to let Victor take over. Why don't you tell us how you fared in your matchup against Jerry yesterday and talk about the bright spots as well as the low spots for your fantasy football team. And I apologize, so I'm looking at his last picks where Hakeem Nixon scored, Tavon Austin was absent, but Jacquizz Rodgers is productive. That looks to be a good pick, too. So go ahead, Victor. Chime in. Let's talk about the highs for your team, the lows for your team, and what happened in the matchup between you and Jerry that you'll end up losing. You still there with me, Victor? All right. I think that Victor probably got lost in the shuffle for a moment, so we'll wait till he's ready to check back in with us. What we're going to do now, then, let's go ahead and jump into our top ads for the week. So one of the benefits of losing in fantasy football, of course, if the loss doesn't put you out of the playoffs, and nobody is in that predicament starting off week one here, one of the benefits in losing in fantasy football is you get the waiver wire. You get the chance to go ahead and get players who can be of immediate assistance for the short interim, or like 2012 with Alfred Morris and last year with Julius Thomas, these guys can be bona fide starters for your football team. And so this week, if you at the quarterback position, if you are in need of some help, a couple names that you may not be in every single league, but you certainly want to look, Ben Roethlisberger of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look, let's face it. Pittsburgh always says they're going to be a smash-mouth, run-first, grind-it-out team. I said this in the preseason, but then you turn around and look up, And there's Ben Roethlisberger with 300 yards passing and two TDs. Well, he didn't get to two TDs yesterday, but 365 yards and a touchdown against a very stout Cleveland defense. He's big time. Let's just face it. Ben Roethlisberger is definitely a top 10 quarterback in this league. I don't see how, again, Antonio Brown gets open so much. I got to give Antonio his respect because I wasn't so high on him in the preseason. But Ben Roethlisberger has a legitimate number one receiver in Antonio Brown, has a big-time running back in Le'Veon Bell. And so Ben Roethlisberger is a good fit if you need a quarterback. Russell Wilson shined on Thursday Night Football. I said this as well. You know, it may not be the biggest stats always, but Russell Wilson is a guy who on a bad day is going to get you 15 to 16 points. And considering that you're picking him up off the waiver wire or you picked him up in the 8th, 9th, or 10th round, certainly the value that you're getting from his production on the football field is well worth it. And then Joe Flacco, he got a league bump up in our rankings for quarterbacks in fantasy football heading into the last week of the preseason. Again, with weapons like Torrey Smith, Steve Smith, Jacoby Jones, Dennis Pitta, who had a big day yesterday, and rookie Marlon Brown, I certainly think that Joe Flacco will be a viable candidate as well. Now, for all three of those quarterbacks, you should have a starter in front of them, but those guys should definitely come in handy in regards to filling in on a bye week, filling in for your quarterback if he's injured, or they may fill in if your starting quarterback has a very tough matchup. And so you definitely want to grab those guys. Got some nice running back prospects for you. No Sean Moreno and Mark Ingram. Both of these guys I have on my teams. You know, I'm a person who, if I give you advice, I don't tell you things just to tell you. I take the advice as well. And so No Sean Moreno started off 134 yards, a touchdown. And I told everybody, Victor mentioned this as well when we talked last week, if you look at No Sean Moreno's history, he is a star player. If you look at from the University of Georgia in his first 2 years there, and then even in his stints in Denver, he never was able to stay on the field long enough. But when he was in the lineup, No Sean Moreno was a very productive football player, and you got a chance to see that firsthand. I mean, you could see it from his first preseason game. Just looked very explosive, and so he may not be on a lot of waiver wires. I've got him. I didn't even have him starting yesterday. He's sitting on the bench in my NFL.com league, which we'll get to a little bit later on. But No Sean Moreno, definitely, even though he's not listed on the depth chart as a starter, No Sean Moreno is the main running back in Miami. And then Mark Ingram, he established himself as the goal line running back. Now, the Saints have Kyrie Robinson and Pierre Thomas, so they mix it up a lot. But Ingram certainly is going to be able to take advantage. There's going to be some blowouts for the Saints, games that they blow their opponents out. He's going to put the finishing touch on some teams running the football. There's going to be some games that they focus on the run a little more and then, like I say, get the goal line carry. So he had 18 big points yesterday. You certainly want to get him on your team. He was a starter for me, instrumental in my ESPN league. We'll talk about that later, too. How about Chris Ivory for the New York Jets? Him and Chris Johnson, we wanted to see how that was going to work out. Both of those running backs are going to get the ball. Chris Johnson may get more carries, but Chris Ivory is a very tough runner. You've seen that last year in New York, and just on 10 carries yesterday, he had over 100 yards. I mean, he runs with such reckless abandon, so he's another guy that you may be interested in. Now, I would say for Moreno and Ingram, those are potential starts. I think you can go ahead and start those guys and get them in the flex. For Ivory, I would say watch the matchup. You know, I certainly don't want you to put him out there and he bombs out on you, but he's certainly a guy who's worth having, especially if something were to happen to Chris Johnson. He would be an excellent start for your team. Next,
hey,
okay, Vic, you back with me.
Yeah, I apologize. Okay. I had to take a phone call. The one thing I want to say about the Chris Ivory and all that, he got most of that stuff on that one long run. And consistently, he wasn't breaking tackles. He wasn't doing that one 68, 69-yard run was the big part of his point total. Me, personally, I don't like Chris Ivory. I don't like the timeshare up there in New York. But if he's available and you're trying to find somebody instead of Ray Rice, because now you got to get Ray Rice, I think that's a good move. I also like the fact you told him to get Justin Forsett. But for me personally, I'm staying clear of Ivory. If if I can. I just don't like it up there. That's just me. Sorry.
Okay, not a problem, and I certainly understand that. And, again, I think the main thing, very good point, like I said, with Ivory, you want to watch. I think that he'll get some goal line care. I mean, I don't know how often the Jets are going to have the goal line opportunities. But anyway, with Ivory, like I said, when we're putting this stuff out there, now, we certainly want you to use your own judgment. You know, I'm not saying every single thing I say, just do it or put these guys in. Definitely, you know, evaluate matchups. Make sure you're checking in throughout the week what's going on with injuries. Check the opposing team's rush defense. You know, taking a broad scope of things, but considering, especially you might be in a league where there's three running backs, you might not have too many good running backs. Certainly when the guy is hot, and that's it, we got to strike with the iron's hot. Ivory is certainly a guy who is going to factor in into that backfield. He could certainly end up being a guy who gets your 40 yards in the TD. So, play him as you may. Now, the two guys I was about to get into, both for the Cleveland Browns. Now, this is a situation that is worth monitoring big time. And just real quick, Vic, because I see we're moving down to about a half an hour. Do we have a little extended time today, or are we straight an hour and we're out of here?
Well, it goes for an hour after our original time. So, technically, you have 2 hours. So you have an hour.
Okay,
and a half.
All right.
But live is only 30 minutes.
I got you.
Left.
Okay, got you. All right, so let's get to the pertinent stuff. So Terrence West of the Cleveland Browns. West already looked good to me in the preseason, had a lot of shaking and step, was a guy that I was wondering how that playing time situation was going to factor out. Well, yesterday when Ben Tate did go down with that injury, and I will say that when Tate was in there, he was running the ball effectively. So it looks like Cleveland's front line, offensive line, may be getting it together. The Terrence West, once Ben Tate went down with an injury, was able to rack up 100 yards on 16 carries. The other guy who looked good as well, Isaiah Crowell, definitely last preseason game I seen him get on the map. He ended up with 2 rushing touchdowns, even though his yardage was low. And so we have to wait to see how the situation is going to play out in Cleveland. Obviously, West is certainly the guy that you want to go with. I think Crowell might have just kind of been the victim of good circumstance. A good victim, I should say, of circumstance yesterday, but Terrence West is definitely a guy that you want to get on your roster because he's going to get playing time whether Tate is in there or not. We wanted to have a little question for Ed Jackson. He's going to be a major part of that Bills offense, especially since that passing game is struggling. Fred Jackson is a nice pickup if he's available. And then we mentioned Carlos Hyde. Now, I think you'll see his main benefits if Frank Gore gets hurt. He certainly took a touchdown away from Gore yesterday. But you can see this guy has big-time potential. He is very quick, and he runs very strong. So those are some running backs you want to look at. Move over to our wide receivers. Again, this is more of a let's strike while the iron is hot. Now, look, Cecil Shorts III missed yesterday with a hamstring. He's slated as the number one receiver. Marquise Lee is slated as the number two wide receiver. But he's been struggling a little bit just with kind of just basically rookie mistakes. So Allen Hurns. Is the guy that you want to look at. Made a real big splash in the preseason. And then started off yesterday, 110 yards, 2 TD catches. He seems Chad Henne's main target. And as I told everybody yesterday, I don't see that ground game running faring too well. I think that Jacksonville is going to have to pass the football in order to be effective. And it looks like Hurns right now is the guy who's going to benefit from that the most. A couple other guys, we talked about rookie Calvin Benjamin. Coming into the preseason, I was not sold on him. But I kept hearing time after time his name coming up in out of training camp in Carolina, reports, the media. I got a chance to see this kid yesterday. He is going to get the targets, and he is definitely the number one wide receiver in Carolina. I had heard he was making some circus catches in training camp. Got a chance to see that yesterday. Man, this kid is playing with big-time confidence. So Kelvin Benjamin of the Carolina Panthers. Definitely get him on your lineup quick. DeAndre Hopkins, we were pretty much able to see again. It was only on one catch yesterday, but there's no question that him and Andre Johnson are going to get the high majority of the targets over there. Also want to throw in rookie Brandon Cooks, and he had a good day yesterday. You can see he's definitely going to be the Darren Sproles of that offense this year. There is no question about that. And then also Greg Jennings, a savvy vet out of Minnesota. Him and Cordell Patterson are the only two really wide receiver options for Matt Castle. And then we talked about Terrence Williams of the Dallas Cowboys. We touched on Anquan Boldin. And then how about some guys I know for a fact that are on the free agent list? You know, for Jennings, Williams and Bolden. They probably are on some rosters. But how about, and I'm sorry, real quick there, Calvin Johnson just scored his second touchdown. Matt Stafford just threw his second touchdown. So I believe that touchdown catch right there should put Calvin over 100 yards already in the first quarter. Lord, this might be one of those days right here. And I know I'm officially done. Again, in my ESPN league, I've got Calvin, but in my Yahoo league, I'm playing against him. And I was already down due to the damage that Matt Ryan and Julius Thomas did. So we wanted to make that quick note right there. A couple guys, as I mentioned, I know for a fact on the free agent wire that you might have some interest in, especially in deeper leagues. How about Devin Hester for the Atlanta Falcons? I've seen Matt Ryan hooking up with him in the preseason. Yeah, sure, he's got Julio and Rhodey on the outside, Devin Hester is emerging as that number three wide receiver. And let's face it, Atlanta's going to air it out this year, and Hester still has top-end speed. Going to be very difficult for nickel cornerbacks to keep up with him. A great point, my man Jerry brought him up yesterday. We're talking about Brian Quick by the St. Louis Rams. Came out strong, 99 receiving yards yesterday. Made a case to be the number one receiver in St. Louis. And then another one of Jerry's guys, Andrew Hawkins of the Cincinnati Bengals. Jerry said it, especially in PPR leagues, had 11 targets yesterday, 8 catches, 87 yards. And so all of those wide receivers, you want to get them on your team if you don't have them. Real quick, a couple tight ends, Zach Ertz. We were debating on that in the preseason between him and Brent Celek. We knew Ertz had the more of an upside. Certainly showed it yesterday. Grabs Zach Ertz up. And then a Delanie Walker, as well as Levine Tualulu. Now, for Walker, Tennessee, don't expect a lot of yards, but he's definitely going to be a red zone presence. He should get a lot of catches, being that Jake Locker is going to be doing a lot of checking down. Tight end Tualulu for Atlanta, same thing. Too many wide receivers and playmakers in that Atlanta offense as far as total overall yards. But in the red zone, this guy is a big-time threat, so you want to look for him. And then as far as Jared Cook, I apologize, for St. Louis Rams, 56 yards on 8 targets yesterday. Another backup quarterback out there in St. Louis, so he's going to get a lot of targets. Couple kickers real quick. We have Matt Bryant. How about him yesterday? Couple 50-yarders. No, Atlanta's going to move that football, 18 points. Mike Nugent for Cincinnati, similar situation, going to have a lot of field goal opportunities. Ryan Succop, you know KC is going to probably do nothing but end up kicking field goals. They're one of the worst teams in the league at third down conversions and scoring touchdowns. And then the same should hold true for Sturgis out in Miami. I mentioned him yesterday in the show. And Carpenter for the Buffalo Bills, two offenses that may not score touchdowns all the time. And then just for this upcoming week, defenses. How about the Miami Dolphins? Dominated yesterday against the Patriots. They're going to play E.J. Manuel out in Buffalo. How about, the Tennessee Titans? They are playing the Dallas Cowboys. You know they're going to be good for a couple turnovers. And as I mentioned, Tennessee's defense is for real. Check them out when you get a chance. Lastly, the Houston Texans. They play rookie quarterback Derek Carr and the Raiders. So those should be some nice ads for your fantasy football team this week. Make sure to get a couple of these people. If not just, you know, one, get some people. Listen back through the broadcast and fill in. You know, go ahead and get some nice additions to your fantasy football team. Now that Victor is back on the line, again, I wanted for Victor to highlight the players who shine on his fantasy football team yesterday. Talk about players who did not come through for him and give us a little information as far as what exactly happened in the matchup between him and Jerry. Let's get the final score and kind of see, you know, what matchup Jerry won and how that played out. Before we get to that real quick, I have another caller. Let's go ahead and get them on the line, and then Victor, go ahead and chime in. Hold on 1 second. All right.
I know who it is.
Caller. Welcome in on the line, caller. Who is it just with us today?
What's up, Lance? Had to call and bless you, bro. I see you giving up the good info as usual.
What's going on, sir? How you doing?
What's going on? I'm all right. You on here with my cousin. I don't know. Maybe you can help him out. I don't know.
Really?
It sounds like he needs some help, Macau. He's about to explain to us what happened to this fantasy team that he was so confident with yesterday. So go ahead, Victor. We ain't gonna hold up no longer. Explain to us.
Hey, Lance.
Okay.
Hey, Lance.
Go ahead, Macau.
I'm about to do. Lance, I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. He's going to start dancing now. This is when he starts dancing.
Really? I'm a Gregory Hines?
You got to put the music on for him. Go ahead.
How about the
Let
music?
Me see.
You don't be quiet. Just be quiet.
Just shake that ass. Go ahead.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal, Lance. Just to shut him up and you up, the bet that I lost to Jerry had nothing to do with fantasy. It had everything to do with my Redskins team. My Redskins lost.
Okay.
Now, fantasy-wise, I'm beating his butt in all – we have four matchups. He's currently winning one. However, I have Matt Stafford and Reggie Bush going against him in one league. And he has a sizable lead. And he has Michael Floyd going tonight. However, in the other league, he's getting dominated by 60 points or more. So, with that being said, I want to take this opportunity to shine some light on some players that I did select, and they did perform for me. A guy that I told a lot of people about, and they were like, well, nah, I mean, he's a rookie, you know, don't focus on him. I know you think he's going to do well. So then, you know, like, no, it was Calvin Benjamin. What did Calvin Benjamin do yesterday, ladies and gentlemen? With a backup quarterback, he had 8 targets, 6 catches, 92 yards, 1 touchdown on a tough Tampa Bay defense. Okay? A big disappointment for me was AP because he didn't break 100. However, what do you expect to happen when, you know, you're going against St. Louis's defense? But a big, big disappointment, really, and a lot of people said this, was Tavon Austin. I really thought that St. Louis was going to be more creative in getting Tavon Austin the ball. Instead, it was Brian Quick. When you have a talent like Tavon Austin, it's really, really hard to, I guess, quantify what he means to the team. Obviously, Brian Schottenheimer didn't look at what Seattle did with Percy Harvin because Kayvon runs the same way. He can line up in the backfield and pick those jet sweeps. He can catch the ball. He can throw the ball. He can return kicks. But St. Louis didn't use him that way whatsoever. Another guy that was a big disappointment, but I told everybody, pick up his counterpart because everybody said he was washed up. I said, get Steve Smith. What did Steve Smith do yesterday? A buck 13 and a touchdown, if I'm not mistaken. Torrey Smith, 7 targets, 3 receptions, 50 yards. Some people that I think are going to do well this year, you mentioned already, Le'Veon Bell. He did more than I thought he would, surprisingly, because, you know, I thought LeGarrette Blount was going to do more than what he did. LeGarrette Blount ran the ball one time. Yes, it was for a touchdown, but I thought he was going to get more like a 50-50 share, which didn't happen. Another big disappointment was the Cleveland Browns defense. How does Big Ben just throw all over them like that with that secondary and that front line of Cleveland? And, again, I'm going to say this, and I'm not blaming – I mean, I believed in my Redskins. I really did. But they lost that game. It was a pretty even game, but they lost it due to 2 block kicks and a blown coverage. Maybe they're not what I thought they would be, but Keenan Robinson, middle linebacker, I said it before, he is the heir apparent to London Fletcher, not Perry Riley, because that guy was all over the place. So that's a linebacker pick, especially with Vontaze Buford going out with a concussion. There's another linebacker that's lost for the season. Darnell Ellerby is lost. It's another big-name linebacker that got injured for the entire season. I can't remember his name right now. But there were some players out there on the IDP side that performed well as well. And I'm going to give you back the time because I know you have more to talk about, Lance.
Okay, cool, no problem. And Mikal, do you play fantasy? Did you have any teams playing yesterday or currently?
Nah,
still, you know, I know the week is coming.
Nah, I used to play fantasy, man. I ain't got time to play fantasy. I got to make money. I don't see how y'all got time to do that. But I like to sit here and talk with y'all about it because, you know, I keep up with the players. I keep up with the teams and stuff like that. And, you know, it's kind of like the biggest news. I'm thinking I'm going to have to start getting into it. Might have to call my cousin and, you know, see if he want – if he want to make some money, you know what I mean? I had to call him, you know what I'm saying, see what's up, see if we can put something together. But I don't know. But, you know, I always pay attention to the players, and I kind of want to ask both of you real quick, what if you had this guy, Ray Rice, on your team? I mean, what do you do now? What do you do?
Oh, he already gave Lance some very good advice. And by all means, tell him, Lance. Because Lance is going to tell you, and then once he tells you, I'm going to tell you the numbers once he tells you what to do.
Yes, obviously, get rid of him immediately, okay? That's first things first. And the running backs, so we just ran two for him, Macau, right before you came on. Some hot items on the market right now, if they are available. A couple of these guys may not be, but most of them should be. Noshon Moreno had a buck 34 TD yesterday in Miami. Mark Ingram, 60 yards, 2 TDs yesterday in New Orleans. Both of those guys are your top two picks. Obviously, the Saints are going to have more than enough goal line opportunities. They're a winning team. That's something I factor in the fantasy football team, football too. And the Dolphins are going to be in every ball game, which means, unlike some teams, when they get down 10 or 13 points, they just completely abandon the run. Miami is certainly, you've seen it yesterday. They were down, and they continue to run the football. So Moreno and Ingram are good pickups. Terrence West for the Cleveland Browns, Fred Jackson, Buffalo Bills, Chris Ivory for the New York Jets. And there's not a lot of guys, and so most people have Ray Rice. I don't think they they had him on their lineup to start. He was going to be a flex player and a fill-in, depending on, you know, a kind of a wait-and-see approach. And so, you know, there's not tons of depth at running back, but obviously, like, if you can get Moreno and Ingram, you're in great shape. Those guys can come in and start immediately. Again, Chris Ivory, the Jet, is a guy who's going to get his carries. You just want to monitor. Terrence West is certainly a strong candidate. I think out of everybody I've mentioned, him and Fred Jackson obviously are guys who are going to get a lot of playing time due to their quarterback situation. And then for Crowell for Cleveland, that was a guy who I mentioned who just kind of got the goal line touches. And Carlos Hyde, same thing. And so those are some good candidates. Go ahead, Vic, go ahead and come in behind me with some numbers that you have.
All right. And Calvin Johnson almost made another spectacular catch, about to go over 200 yards in the first half. It's ridiculous. But you forgot one person that you brought up, and that's a guy that came in yesterday and helped out Baltimore, which is Justin Forsett.
Yes, sir. My bad. Yes, sir.
No, I mean, it's fine. You gave some great ones there, but Justin Forsett is sharing that load with Bernard Pierce. But Justin Forsett was the one that stood out. And on Yahoo alone, he's been picked up already 75,420 times. Ray Rice has been dropped 123,702 times. My point is, I don't know how people's waiver wires are, you know, during a season, but mine's locked. So if a team has played, anybody on that team can't be picked up. But apparently, on Yahoo, that's not the case. But 75,000 ads for this one guy. 75,000 is a huge number. Yesterday, 11 rushing attempts, 70 yards, 1 touchdown, 5 receptions, 14 yards on 6 targets. That's your bell cow for Baltimore now. Also, I think Baltimore now can or will be relegated to the cellar of the AFC North, right there with Cleveland. I think Cleveland might even finish ahead of them. No Ray Rice, no happy life. That's all I got there, Lance.
Okay. No, that sounds good. And like you said,
no Ray
Bernard
Rice,
Pierce,
no happy life, really?
For the Ravens, for the Baltimore Ravens.
Nah, man. Nah,
there
Vic.
Is no running threat. This is an extra point.
Nah,
let Lance do it. Let Lance
they
do
got,
it.
Nah, they got Pierce and they got Forsett. You got to remember, they don't need an amazing running back now. All they need is a one-cut dude and get downfield. That's not hard. And I fully think that Pierce is that guy. Pierce is that guy, and I think Forsett can carry that. Baltimore is fine. The only thing Baltimore got a problem with is their public image now. But that defense is nice. That defense is nice. You know what I mean? They ain't great. You know what I mean? But they gonna be in there, man. I don't see where you're going with that. Cleveland being better, nah.
Well, it's the extra point, so let's see what Lance thinks. But before Lance, I don't mean to take over your inaugural show. I really don't want to take over your show at all.
Go ahead. No problem, bro. We're here for the next 6 months, man.
But here's the deal. If you look at how Cleveland played against Pittsburgh, they faded in that game. When Terrence West got in that backfield, they became a dynamic passing and running team. Andrew Hawkins had 8 catches for, I believe, 90-some-odd yards and a touchdown. The third receiver that used to be for Cleveland is now the number one. But they have a running back that is young, fresh, and can do it, along with Ben Tate, who's been known to do it but is injury-prone. My issue with Baltimore is Bernard Pierce had a concussion a couple weeks ago. He also is known to fumble the ball. Not as much as some other people, but he has been known to fumble the ball. Justin Forsett, he was the fourth running back in Houston, behind Ben Tate, behind Arian Foster, somebody else, and then there was Justin Forsett. I like him for their team, for what they're going to use him for, but teams will not be afraid of either Pierce or Forsett. That means they can double-team Steve Smith or Torrey Smith. Dennis Pitta, he might not be able to be guarded by a linebacker, but a strong or free safety can cover Dennis Pitta. The offense looked anemic versus Cincinnati. Anemic. 5 field goals. And they still lost to Cincinnati. They gave up 5 field goals and lost.
You know what, Vic? This the same type of analysis you gave in the Super Bowl. Very same type of analysis. And you still missed you still missing the point. They don't need a dude like Ray Rice anymore.
Okay.
They running that zone blocking joint, man. One cut, get downfield. One cut, get downfield. And Flacco throw the ball. I told y'all, I also told you on the show, I don't know which one it was, but there's a shift in Baltimore's thinking in their philosophy. They're going more balanced because they have to balance that team around Flacco.
I'm going to tell you this, Mikal, with all the balance that there was and supposed to be, Joe Flacco find himself in the same predicament he did early last season, and I was throwing the ball 60 times. And I know that that's not the recipe that they want to run, but we're gonna move on. We'll make sure we come back to this. But strictly from a fantasy football standpoint, there are worser situations that you can find in the NFL. And so Bernard Pierce, Justin Forsett, 2 guys you definitely want to get on your ball team if you are in need of immediate assistance or you're looking for a good backer running back to be a flex play or fill in on some other weeks. All right, so definitely that's that. We get into some X's and O's about the Ravens and the Browns on another day. Let's move forward now. Let's go to over we're going to get into our fantasy football teams. Yesterday, my ESPN league, I'm in 3 leagues, ESPN, Yahoo, and the NFL.com. My ESPN league, that one's in the books. On that team, I had Tom Brady, and this worked out good for me. This is the beauty of fantasy football. Now, my starting lineup yesterday was Tom Brady, Alfred Morris, Tom Brady, Alfred Morris, Mark Ingram, Calvin Johnson, Vincent Jackson, Julius Thomas, Marcus Colston working my flex. I had Seattle's kicker and Seattle's defense. I was up 96-88 coming into tonight, and I still had Calvin Johnson left. So that team right there, you can see, is definitely in good shape. On my bench, I have Phillip Rivers, Terrence Williams for Dallas. He scored yesterday. Charles Clay, the backup tight end for Miami. Mike Evans, the rookie for Tampa Bay, is worth noting. And Chris Johnson was on my bench. So I honestly believe between Alfred Morris, Mark Ingram, Calvin Johnson, Vincent Jackson, Julius Thomas, and Colston, we'd be good to go. I got Rivers and Brady there. And the point that I wanted to bring up was this is the beauty and the double-edged sword. In my ESPN league, I played against Tom Brady and Vincent Jackson. Both of them did nothing. So that helped me get a win in my NFL league. However, Julius Thomas's outstanding performance and the damage, I was already down, but the damage that Julius Thomas did yesterday with 104 catches and 3 TDs, and Calvin Johnson already being over 100 yards and 2 TDs, I got punished in my Yahoo league. I just could not withstand the storm. So I had players help me in one regard, hurt me in another, but that's what happens when you're in a ton of leagues. So I'm 1-0 on my ESPN. My NFL.com league, I'm stacked up, trump tight over there. That's the family league. Everybody's got a family league, a league with coworkers, job members, et cetera, over there. I had the lineup was Nick Foles, DeMarco Murray, Monty Ball, Reggie Wayne, Marcus Colston, Martellus Bennett, and Cordarrelle Patterson. When I say this team is trump tight, because I got depth over there, my starter really is Matt Stafford. But Foles had the better matchup. I'm happy he was able to recover after a horrible start and still rack up over 300 yards, a couple TDs. I got no Sean Moreno over there for some nice depth in the flex play. I had Randall Cobb and Kelvin Benjamin on my bench this week. You already know I'm trump tight at wide receiver. And then I've got Rob Gronkowski at tight end. I had Martellus Bennett in for him. And so I am definitely, that is a team over there. We only were second in point score behind my pops, who had a killer squad. Dude had Matt Ryan, Brandon Marshall, LeSean McCoy, A.J. Green, Julius Thomas. So he put up 163 points, but I was second. So we're looking real, 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 real good over there. And as I mentioned, I don't give you advice and don't take it. I told everybody that you could stack up on running backs. I see this year after year, and I finally said, let me put this strategy to use. In round, these receivers, I grab Cordarrelle Patterson in round 6. I grab Marcus Colston in round 7, Reggie Wayne in round 8, and Kelvin Benjamin in round 10. In my other league, I grab Colston, Wayne in 7, 8, and Wes Welker in round 9. And so you can always find wide receivers who are going to give you excellent value in the later rounds. And this is the thinking on Colston and Wayne. What is it about Colston? We talked about, you say, number one wide receiver plays with an elite quarterback. We talked about Reggie Wayne. If you looked at Wayne, 2012, 1,355 yards, 8 TDs last year before getting hurt. He is Andrew Luck's favorite player. You know the Colts don't have a running game, so they're going to throw the football a lot. And Reggie Wayne is a big-time possession wide receiver. And then you talk about the bench, Calvin Benjamin, and then we talked about No'Shawn Moreno. So that team is trump tight. I'm not going to run through Yahoo because I want to hear from Macau as far as my players are concerned, as well as Victor to chime back in on some of his lineups. In my Yahoo league, I will say I'm decent. You know, I got Stafford. It's a three wide receiver league, and that's why I made my mistake. I was so used to doing two running backs and two wide receivers. I got caught out there. That's a two wide receiver three, a two running back wide receiver, three wide receiver league. So initially I had drafted Adrian Peterson, Alfred Morris, and Doug Martin to have a three-headed monster, but that's not the case. So I'm in the process of packaging up. I grabbed Darryl Sproles off the free agent list. You got to sell these players while they're hot. I'm going to try to put a package together for Sproles. Depends on Doug Martin. He's cold right now, but I should be able to package together with Sproles and one of my other wide receivers to get a big-time receiver. Nonetheless, I got Stafford, Adrian Peterson, Alfred Morris, Reggie Wayne, Marcus Colston, Brandon Cooks filled in for Wes Welker, Gronkowski, Novak, and Denver's defense. And so I'll be able to pull off a trade over there. We'll be fine. Like I said, we just run into top scorers. Matt Ryan led the whole fantasy world in point score. Julius Thomas probably was second. and then I'm getting killed by Calvin Johnson. So just ran into a bus off. I know we got 20 seconds left on the air real quick. I want to make sure, check us out every Monday at 7 p.m. on the East Coast, 4 on the West Coast. It's The Extra Point with your host, NFL Exporter. Catch us online at NFL Exporter on Twitter and at Fantasy Sports. And it's cool, or is that politics, Victor?
Fantasy Sports Paul. That's it.
And Paul. So make sure to check us out. All right, that was our live broadcast. We're moving into overtime. Let's keep it moving because you know that we will be able to put this up and everybody can listen to the show the rest of the week because we're going to keep dropping them jewels on them. So I'll let you chime in first, Mikal, based on the lineups that you just heard that I had, and I certainly don't expect for you to remember everybody, but what do you think? What do you think of my teams? What do you think of some of the players you heard, strategies used? You was pretty much with us throughout the whole preseason doing these rankings and whatnot. What do you think of my teams and how I draft?
Man, you got a nice team, love. You know what? I am not. You know what? I don't hardly ever listen to my cousin for anything. You know, but I was sending the lean to listen to him about fantasy. Oh, that's over now. So you got it, Lance. I'm gonna listen to you. I'm gonna talk to you. I'm gonna ask you. Your mob is good. You know what I'm saying? My cousin, he be delusional sometimes. I think he been playing fantasy a little bit too much. I don't know what's going on. But I like that mob, especially when you say Alfred Morris. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, he know what he doing. Yes, sir.
And real quick, I want to hear from you, Mikal. Then we're going to slide over to Victor. Let him give a little rating and analysis on my teams, and then we'll get into Victor, a couple, maybe three of his teams that he has, because he's in about 10 more leagues than I.
25.
But,
I'm in 25.
Oh, excuse me. Well, he's in 22 more leagues than me, so excuse me. We definitely want to hear about three leagues. But, Mikal, help us out here, because Victor talked about this. I talked about this all last year, okay? And this is one thing that I don't understand when it comes to football. I don't know if these teams are in love, and we're going to touch on some other topics. There's a lot of – for week one in the NFL, two things that stood out to me was poor tackling and horrible play calling. And you've got to talk to me, Mikal, because this is my thing. In football, you need 10 yards to get a first down. If a running back is averaging 4 yards or better a carry, that means that every two or three times he gets the football, or if you put a backup in because, you know, the offensive line plays into that as well, you're going to get a first down. Now, I know that it's a passing league and it's all about stats and this, that, and the other. But please help me out here. Alfred Morris, I've seen this happen all the time last year in Washington. And granted, some of the games, they had to come away from the run because they were so far behind. However, I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. The Seattle Seahawks. Okay. No matter how many points they down, they usually ain't going to be down no more than, you know, 14 to nothing or something like that. But you know what? They don't stop running the football. They don't take their best player out of the ball game. They don't say, well, we're down 14 nothing, so we're just going to pass every down and take Marshawn Lynch out the ball game. They continue to run the football because it allows the best player to have his hands on the ball. You still control the clock. You're still wearing the defense down. And guess what? If you score a touchdown, at that point, you're only down 7 points. Yesterday, that game between the Redskins and Houston was even, pretty much with the exception of the deep ball on Hopkins and the blocked punt. Why did Alfred Morris only have 14 carries? Yet on those 14 carries, he had 91 yards. Why are the Redskins abandoning the run when this boy is picking up huge chunks of yards on every carry? Can you please give me some insight on that?
I can't help you there, sir. I mean, I wish I could. I mean, there's absolutely no reason why Alfred Morris shouldn't have had 200 yards in that game. I mean, really. I mean, I don't understand why they went to the trickeration in the first quarter. You know what I mean? You got a big dude like J.J. Watt and Clowney and all like that. Man, what you got to do is hit them dudes in the mouth. You got to hit them in the mouth and run the ball. Run the ball. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to always be successful with J.J. Watt. But seriously, beat him up. He'll slow down. And then around about, you know, midway through the third quarter, then start doing the trickeration. I mean, I didn't get it.
I didn't get it. I didn't get the trickeration all the way down there on the 2-yard line and stuff like that. Man, Alfred Morris is a beast. That line has proven that they can just they can run the ball no matter who, no matter what team it is or who's playing. They can run the ball because they ran. They ran at J.J. Watt. They ran away from him. They ran at Clowney. They ran away from him. They ran at that dude that kept coming in. It's every time they stepped back to pass, it became a problem. It became an issue. They cannot pass block. Aside from Williams, they can't pass block at all. I don't know what's going on with that, man. I was so blown. I mean, you know, I remember one time last year while they were, like, down, like, 21, and they were still running the ball. You know, at certain times, you know, when you are, you know, so far down, you've got to leave it. I get that. But, come on, man. You had to they were in this game. It wasn't like Houston's offense was so ridiculously good that, you know, they had to just abandon it immediately. I just didn't get that. I didn't get that at all. But I can't help you, Lance. I can't. I'm just as confused as you are.
Okay. Well, I guess so. All of us, we need to check in with Jay Gruden's press conference and find out, because I don't understand that. Especially, I mean, if you're in the first half, I can understand the more we're getting closer to the end of the game. But to have a running back that some of these teams have, and just to abandon the run, I mean, like you said, it does not make any sense that this man can pick up 91 yards on only 14 carries. And you just abandon the run. So we'll get back to that another day. Victor, chime in. You heard some of the studs that I have on my squad. I'm quite sure, you know, you're knee-deep into this. I know you know what rounds everybody was going. You know how boards were moving, et cetera, et cetera. Talk to me about what you heard on my teams, and then go ahead and you know, do it how you want to do it. I know you have so many teams. I don't know if you have some in front of you, but maybe two or three of your fantasy teams and you know, strategies you used, and did you win? Did you lose? You know, how did things work out for you in the first week of the NFL?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I'll address your team first, or teams first. I think you established a couple of good teams. I don't know if you were drafting with dummies or a small league as to how you were allowed to amass so much talent on one team. The one that has Matt Ryan and Gronk, and you have a slew of running backs. But I've got an idea. Folks probably said, you know what, Foster's coming off an injury. We'll let him go in the third, fourth round. I think that's where you probably got him. I mean, if I'm right, I'm right. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Alfred Morris. A guy that isn't spectacular, but he produces. All he does is run the ball. He got vultured, and that hurts you. Got it. But you're in it for the long haul. That's what I would give your team as far as a grading. You're in it for the long haul. A strong playoff run if things can remain constant. Now, you ran into a bus all this week. Got it. Matty Ice. Megatron right now kicking your butt, and a couple others. But for the most part, your teams are solid. And again, you're not, you know, you're not in a terrible position. You're just running up against somebody who just happens to have an explosive week. And that's cool. I'll give you a team from each – well, not each one because I'm in like four different places – I'll give you a team from Yahoo, a team from ESPN, and either I'll give you my CBS.
No, matter of fact, I'm going to cut you off. Give me the team that you drafted last week so we can kind of stay consistent with that, because I know that Jerry will be joining us sometime. The one with Aaron Rodgers and Giovanni Bernard, Emmanuel Sanders, Noshon, all those guys.
That's the one I'm playing Jerry in right now, actually.
Oh, okay.
So, well, that's one of the ones I'm playing them in. The Aaron Rodgers, Emmanuel Sanders, Torrey Smith, Giovanni Bernard, Reggie Bush, Greg Olsen, Rashard Jennings, Noshon Marino, Dwayne Bowe, Carson Palmer, LeGarrette Blount, Hakeem Nicks, Tavon Austin, Jaquez Rogers, Blair Walsh, Kansas City. Well, I actually drafted Buffalo's defense, but I picked up Kansas City's. Probably a mistake on that one since they scored more. Luke Pucci, and Vontaze Buford. So here's the deal. This is the team that underperformed the most for me this week. And, yes, I still have Reggie Bush and Rashard Jennings going. But Jerry, his team, you know, they did a bust all like you're getting done. He had Big Ben, who went for 59 points. He had Antonio Brown, who went for 23 points. He still has Michael Floyd to go. AP didn't do too well for him. But Le'Veon Bell went for 54 for him. Kyle Rudolph hit 10 for him. C.J. Spiller.
Yeah.
Didn't expect him to do what he did, but he did. You know, he got he got 31 points. He got targeted in the passing game three times. One was for a touchdown. You know, 15 rushes.
Yep.
You know, Phil Dawson. Houston's defense way outperformed what the projection was. They got him 40. And that's actually the group that put him over the top so far over me. Quentin Demps, who just got he's not injured, but he hasn't done anything yet for the Giants. And he has Devin McCourtin, who got him like 3.5. But right now, I'm still in it, but I'm not. And I'll be honest, if he wins, he wins. It'll be the only one he wins this week against me, because in another league, I have Matt Stafford, Reggie Bush, Megatron, and somebody, no, not Megatron. I've got like three players going right now for Detroit, plus their defense. And I'm kicking his butt because he has nobody going. This team right here was the keeper league. I kept Giovanni and I kept Aaron Rodgers. Both drastically underperformed. Both. Well, no, excuse me. I'll take that back. Giovanni got 31. He was projected to get 29. The one that really underperformed and hurt me a little bit is Aaron Rodgers. He was projected at 58, but he gave me 37. And you gave me a bit of advice that Sunday, and I was going to do it, but my pride got in the way because I was like, why are you telling my secrets, Lance? I was going to start Carson Palmer versus San Diego's defense at the last minute, just to, you know, give him a sense of, okay, well, I'm locked in now, to get him worried. But I said, nah, Lance didn't ran his mouth. I'll stick with Aaron against Seattle, which wasn't a smart move, but it is what it is. So that's the thing on that team.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Sounds good. Well, I will say this, and I told everybody this about Aaron Rodgers as well. I actually got on Twitter at the last second and said, you know what? I mean, this was my take on things. It's the first game of the season. You know, he's one player. You know, I know it does come down to a lot of times, you know, one, you might end up missing the playoffs by one game. You very well end up losing the game by a couple points. But I, honestly, I'm the type of person, I don't believe that one game or one player should make or break your season. So I told people that, look, what are we going to do? Are we going to not start any quarterbacks against Seattle's defense? Are we just going to sit every quarter? Are we going to avoid Seattle's defense all season? With the way they look, that's a good suggestion. However, if anybody's going to have some success against, if anybody's going to have some success against them, it should be the elite quarterbacks. It should be Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, you know, maybe a couple other guys. And if you look at what I said was number one, if you have a better option than Aaron Rodgers, then go with him. Take a look at your opponent. If your opponent has, because of fantasy football, at the end of the day, even though they're different positions, it's point for point. So if Aaron Rodgers got 9 and somebody else his other team got 9, even though they're in a different position, guess what? It was a push. So take a look at your opponent's roster. If they had a quarterback who was starting with a tough matchup or another player who's going to have a tough matchup, go with Rodgers. And then also, just take the expectation. Now, I certainly wasn't saying Aaron Rodgers was going to come out and get 300 yards and 3 TDs, but I thought that 225 yards or 250 yards and 2 TDs was doable. If he did, as long as he didn't throw any interceptions, most leagues, I know point systems are a lot different, but like in my NFL.com league with Russell Wilson. Well, I use ESPN, the standard league, because we play with bonuses for a lot of different things. But in the standard ESPN league, Russell Wilson, and that's why I said he is a steady performer. But where you can catch him in late rounds, Russell Wilson only had 191 yards and two TDs and gave you 17 points. So if Aaron Rodgers would have had 225 yards and two TDs, you'd be looking at about 18, 19 points. And honestly, he didn't have a bad game, but what we are definitely starting to see, you've seen it yesterday with Tom Brady. We've seen it with Aaron Rodgers at Seattle. These top-notch quarterbacks, if you get to these guys early and often, these guys get rattled. I don't care what you're saying. And they start throwing the ball in more inaccurate. They start peeking over their shoulder. They stop trusting their protection, and they start passing bad balls. Well, Aaron Rodgers, he did not have a bad game. He had 189 yards with one TD and one interception. And that interception, really, there's no stat to keep that. But they need to start putting a little blame on these wide receivers because Jordy Nelson dropped that interception. That ball was right on Jordy Nelson's hands. However, Jordy Nelson did not fully run through his pattern because he had Cam Chancellor in his head. Cam was nowhere around, but he was so conscious. It was a slant route, and it was a zone, and Aaron Rodgers led him. And he was so conscious of getting blasted by Cam Chancellor that he did not fully run through the football. It bounced off his hands, so that could be one interception taken away. And then Jordy Nelson also could have scored a touchdown, but he stepped out of bounds on the one-yard line as he extended the ball. And so I certainly think that Aaron Rodgers and that offense is going to continue to excel. The one thing that you definitely took away from that ball game is the Packers still have not addressed their frontline issues. And if there are going to be games where teams can bring a lot of pressure, you know, the Rams, yes, that is the case, but you have to understand with the Rams, they don't have no offensive prowess. So even though Aaron Rodgers may have a little trouble at some points in the game, he's still going to put that money up because they're going to have so many opportunities. But if you're facing, if the Green Bay is facing a defense who has got a mean pass rush and got some offensive capabilities, you certainly got a little cause for concern because the Packers' offensive line is still struggling in pass protection. So, you know, it's, like I said, it's one game. No matter what happened yesterday, before you came on, Macau, we listed quite a few fantasy performers who were taking high. You know, a couple wide receivers I know that you like, Demaryius Thomas, Vincent Jackson, both those guys, 40 and 30 yards. It's fantasy football. You know, everybody has a week where you're going to just run into a team while their players perform high. You're going to have weeks where you're the buzzsaw. You're going to have some games where guys just don't perform. Jamal Charles only had 2 points yesterday. But at the end of the day, you said it, Victor. It's about consistency and being in it for for the long haul. So I think that's some good advice to take. I'm going to go ahead, kick it back over to Macau. Go ahead and jump in, and then Vic get in behind him, and then we'll move over to our next topic before we end things out. Just a quick shout real quick, too. What we're noticing in this Giants-Detroit game is the tight end for New York. He scored the touchdown. Adrian Robinson actually lined up that receiver, and they threw him a fade route. They actually did that about two straight times on him. So the tight end for the New York Giants, Adrian Robinson, looks like he is going to have some fantasy relevance this year. And I'm not saying that just because of the touchdown, but New York's been doing a lot of play action. They're in the West Coast system, and it looks like his receivers are going to have trouble getting open. So just wanted to throw that out there. The score right now is 14-7. Two touchdown passes from Stafford to Megatron, and Eli Manning hit tight end Adrian Robinson for New York's only score. All right, Macau, go ahead, my man. Hop in.
Well, I wanted to ask you guys, what did y'all think about RG3's performance? You know, that's big news down here. I mean, it's like everybody is either on one side or the other side. Me, personally, I didn't think he looked great, but I didn't think he looked bad. I thought he looked good, but he didn't look, like, wonderful. He didn't make, you know, the big mistakes, you know. Of course, he also looked to me like in development mode, you know, and
I agree.
I'm not mad at all about it at all. But y'all go right ahead. I gotta take another call.
Okay. Go ahead, Vic. I'll let you get first dibs on RG3. Go ahead.
Thanks. I agree with my cousin. He did look like he was in development mode. A lot of short passes, didn't go deep. The one deep pass that he did throw, well, it was two of them. One went to Andre Roberts, and they ruled him out, and it could have been a first down. The first down of the game, and I think it was like going to the second half for either team, actually. And then he did one more deep ball or a short ball that went deep with another run or so by Andre Roberts. I think that when you look at RG3, he's in a position where he's trying not to make a mistake. He's trying to fit into the system and make the system work for him. And by doing that, he's looking very sophomoric, meaning he's grasping the concept, but his execution is to the point where he doesn't want to make a mistake. He's not a vet at it. You have so much speed on that team that taking it downfield would be a very, very good opportunity, but he just didn't. And I also believe that plays into the fact that Alfred Morris didn't get but 14 rushes. Now, I'm with you, Lance. Give the man the ball 20, 25 times. That will help RG3 get comfortable in the pocket because the defense will have to respect it. That dude, Barton, he was in RG3's face all game long, along with JJ. I mean, that dude, he would bite on the play action, but then make up by either going up to RG3 or covering the back or the tight end. I think RG3 just needs to do a better job at commanding the team. I really think that's the case with RG3.
Sounds good. A couple other things.
I mean, commanding, commanding?
Okay,
I don't think it's like – I don't think it's a commanding thing. I think he needs to – read and adjust better. You know what I mean?
And that's what I mean by command. He has – he looks sophomore in the offense because it's new to him. But if he's scared to go deep because he doesn't want to make a mistake, you know, and have Jay Gruden get in his butt, you know, that's not showing command to me.
Well, no. See, they did go deep, Vic. They're not scared to go deep, but they're just picking their shots because he can't hold the ball. I mean, you can't give him a seven-step drop. We've all seen that. He's a rhythm quarterback. They got to get him in a rhythm. You know, he can't, like Gruden told him, Slim, you can't drop back here and pat the ball. You got to get rid of the ball. That's not what he's doing. I mean, I don't think it's so much a command thing. I just think it's, you know, a developmental thing. We could probably, we probably just saying apples and oranges right now. Because I just don't look at it as a command. I just look at it more so as he's got to read that stuff and develop it as he's coming to the line. You know, and I don't think he's gotten that part yet. But when they did take that they took three shots that I really liked. One was an overthrow to Garcon. You know what I mean? You can 50-50 on that. I wasn't mad about that. The shot that they took to Niles Paul, he got to hold on to that ball. The one that I'm most critical about is the pass to Roberts. That pass was late. That pass was hella late. I mean, he should have thrown that ball way earlier than that. And that is the issue with him right now. That pass sums up where he is. It's not, like, really, really bad. It's not great either. There's a little promise because he got the ball out where it, you know, generally where it needed to be, but it was very late. Hella late.
Got you. Just a quick update, too. A couple other things I'm noticing in this fantasy football game is Calvin Johnson just racked in another catch. He's well on his way to over 200 yards. Receiving tonight, and so that bodes well for him. He's actually got 5 for 131 and 2 TDs, so he's having another one of those nights. So I know his fantasy owners are healthy. The other thing I'm noticing here, though, is Joique Bell. You want to talk about a timeshare? This is a true timeshare. He is getting just as many carries, if not more, carries than Joique Bell. And so if you have Joique Bell, It's not a situation like maybe LeGarrette Blount or some of these other running backs that we've told you who are in, you know, timeshares, maybe getting 10 carries a game, couple passes, maybe some goal line, where Joyke Bell is actually getting it just as much work as Reggie Bush. So if you have Joyke Bell, that certainly bodes well for your ball club. All right, I want to chop in on RG3, and then we're going to move into our last segment before we get out of here. We're approaching halftime of the first game, and also I know on the East Coast is moving towards 9 o'clock, so definitely want to let everybody get on with their evenings. But I'm going to tell y'all, fellas, from what I see from RG3, he is, number one, that leg does not seem to be 100% healthy. I still see him running with a limp or just is not as strong. When RG3 was at full health, he knew that he was faster than most of these defensive players. And so whether it was coming off a bootleg, whether it was coming out time to scramble, he knew he had top-end speed so he can get away from people. Everybody is getting a hand on this guy now. So, number one, I don't think that his wheels are back at full strength. The next thing that I'm seeing is he doesn't seem to have the same confidence and swagger. He seems to be a guy who has not made the adjustment of maturation for NFL quarterback, especially. He seems to really listen to the media being critical on him. And so instead of just going out and playing his game, he sits there and he's so concerned about what the media is saying about him that it seems to be affecting his game. He's not that confident player who had that swagger, who had that charisma. And I think what plays into both of those things, his leg not being at full strength, having that top-end speed, hearing all this criticism from the media, that lack of confidence, it's affecting his play on the field. Because what you guys are saying, those are mental things, being late with the ball. You know, in the NFL, mm-hmm. it's about timing. You know, everybody goes on or a big arm and this, that, but it's about timing, throwing the ball early before your receiver breaks out of his cut. You know, timing of things, being able to, if it's a zone, you know, throwing it through the hole. If it's man-to-man, leading him, you know, putting it behind him to avoid a big hit. So a lot of the small things, mechanics, that go into a good quarterback, I just don't see him doing right now. And I think it's affecting his overall game. But like you said, Victor, he's so afraid to make a mistake, you know, instead of just playing his game, that I see is taking his edge off. And I think those are some of the setbacks that I'm seeing in this guy, that he's not putting these balls in these tight windows. He's not leading his receivers. He's not on time with his throws. You know, he's thinking things too much. You know, he's listening about everybody, telling them not to run. In his rookie year, he was very effective running because of that 4-3 speed. But you know what? What I like about Big Ben Roethlisberger and what I like about Andrew Luck, who to me is Benny Jr., you know what? They use their legs to buy time. Colin Kaepernick is really good at that as well. And then RG3's rookie season, he was using his legs, yes, a lot of times to pick up 10 and 15-yard chucks, but you know what? He was using his legs to buy time. And when Big Ben breaks that pocket, when quarterbacks break that pocket, you know that the defensive angles switch, those angles on the passing switch, and the receivers, we've seen it tonight, even when Stafford scrambled on Calvin, that defense gets lost. I just think that RG3 has to kind of tune out the media or understand that being a quarterback and a face of the franchise, that's what comes with it. And he just needs to get back to playing football. Obviously, the biggest asterisk we're going to put on this is playing football, but please learn how to slide or get out of bounds well before a defender is near you. And I think that he'll be okay. So we're certainly going to keep tabs on RG3 as we move forward here. All right, fellas, we're about to start wrapping things up. Let's move over into our last segment, which is our Monday Night Football game. Right now, Detroit is up 14-7, getting close to halftime. We already told you Calvin Johnson, over 100, couple TDs, Stafford, a couple TDs. Adrian Robinson, the tight end, caught the touchdown from Eli Manning for the Giants. Victor Cruz has not caught a pass yet. Again, it's just 1 week, but he was a guy who I've seen people taking – fifth round. I'm actually playing against him in the league in the flex, and I just thought Victor Cruz this year, due to their curve, is still like a sixth, seventh round. I know it's only one round off, but these rounds are very important. It's not room to waste picks if you're planning on winning the championship, and I know that myself winning some championships that becomes a standard. So I'm like really hard on getting in, you know, what round I'm picking up players and their value. The biggest thing we also mentioned, Joyc Bell, is definitely getting in a lot of work out here just as much as Reggie Bush. And then the other big news that came in as well, we mentioned at the top of the show, Ray Rice suspended, actually terminated from the Ravens, and he's suspended until further notice. Nick Freeze, the kicker for Detroit, who should have a lot of success this year, just missed the easy chip shot. I want to throw that in there. But also the big news that's coming in right now is Robert Mathis, the defensive end or outside linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts, who was suspended the first four games of the season due to the performance enhancement drug. He is now gone for the entire season. He has a torn Achilles. And so that Indianapolis defense now has to figure out how they are going to generate some type of pass rush. Because with Mathis alone, he's like a J.J. Wyatt. He's going to get to the quarterback no matter what. Now that he is gone, the Colts are going to have to figure out that's leadership in the locker room and getting pressure on quarterback. So that defense, which is very suspect as was, that's a big loss to them. So we definitely hope that he can fully recover and get back on track. Let's go ahead and move over into the second game of Monday Night Football, which is going to be a good one. We got San Diego and Arizona. And Vic, I'm going to let you chime in. You go ahead and take let me just make sure I got this right. I'm just looking at your lineup here. No, you don't have – oh, yeah. Yeah, since you got Carson Palmer, even though he's not playing, let's let you go ahead and give the drop tonight on the Arizona Cardinals and their fantasy football players. I'll chime in on the Chargers fantasy players, and we'll let Mikal jump back in here, give our final drops, our promos, and we'll slide on up out of here. So what we got going on tonight, Victor, for the Arizona Cardinals and their skilled position players for fantasy football?
Well, you got a great opportunity. That's what you got here. San Diego doesn't have the best secondary there is. I believe all three of their starting linebackers – no, that's Miami. All three of Miami's starting linebackers. But their linebackers are not that great. Victor Butler, I believe, is a little nicked up. Manti Te'o, going into his second year, he really hasn't shown that he's ready to step up and be a leader yet. But you got a Weddle back there, and you have Flowers in the secondary to help. What that tells me is this. Either Schitt's or Floyd is going to have a great game. Andre Ellington, I believe he has been ruled out. That means Jonathan Dwyer is that guy. Yesterday on the Master Plan, I believe you guys told him you might want to pick him up just in case. Also, the word is that Antonio Gates is going to try. He's going to try it. So a lot of people got Ladarius Green. In my opinion, I'm supposed to talk about Arizona, not San Diego. Sorry about that. On the opposite side of Arizona, I like the defense. But without Donnell Dockett, Calais Campbell is a good player. But because Donnell Dockett was causing that force up the middle and Carlos Dansby was the middle linebacker, they could get a rush. They could do a lot of different things. But they're going to put a lot of pressure on Patrick Peterson. And the Honey Badger, I believe he's going to try to go as well. So what I'm getting to is this. On the offensive side of Arizona, Carson Palmer should have a big game with one of the two receivers. Jonathan Dwyer, on the other hand, he's going to pound that rock. He has a chance to, steal a little thunder from Andre Ellington, who is supposed to have been the bell cow this year. And I believe we talked about this when we went over running backs, how Dwyer was already going to get the goal line rushes. Well, now he has the opportunity to take half and half, a Joyc Bell, Reggie Bush type situation. But in this particular game, I look for him to get at least 20, 25 touches, whether it be through the air and the ground or just the ground. 25 touches for Jonathan Dwyer. With Floyd or Fitzgerald, not both, one or the other, having a huge game. I believe it's a game that Arizona can win. Is it in Arizona, Lance?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Home game for Arizona, Phillip Rivers, He looked fabulous, fabulous over the preseason. You know, he looked like somebody that I want to, you know, make sure I have. So that defense is going to have his work cut out for him. So if you have that defense, you get what you get. Try to find somebody else in free agency for next week, but deal with it. I think Arizona can pull this out, though. That's what I got, Lance.
Okay, sounds good. As far as the San Diego Chargers are concerned, on the offensive side of the football, I like the matchup. Vic brought up a good point, and I'm anxious to see. You know, obviously off of 1 week of work, we're not going to be able to tell anything. You know, it definitely now don't get it twisted. There are some things that you can definitely take away from week one in the NFL. But for the most part, we know that probably until game five or six, you know, give these teams a lot of time. Like I said, I've seen a lot of poor play calling, a lot of lack of execution, a lot of rustiness. The defenses are usually a little bit ahead of the schedule as far as NFL football is concerned. Seen a lot of bad play calling, but a lot of people had Arizona Cardinals ranked as a top five defense this year. I beg to differ. I'm not a type of guy who automatically equates last year to this year. Last year, and I would say over the last 2 years, you know, Arizona has been a very difficult place to play, especially last year. Teams were going out to Arizona, and that defense was just causing major problems. But Victor brought up a good point. They're without their best defensive tackle, Darnell Dockett. They're also this year another guy who's very underrated. I think he's like Avontaze Burfict, some of these other players, DeQuell Jackson, Chad Greenway, some of these players that a lot of people maybe who aren't knee-deep in the football know about. But Darrell Washington, their inside linebacker, that guy is a Pro Bowler when he's out there. He's suspended for the entire season due to off-the-field issues. So now you got your best player missing off your front line, your best player missing on your second level. They brought in Larry Foote from Pittsburgh. He's older. They really want Kevin Minter, their draft pick from last year at LSU, to step in. But their linebacking corps is suspect. Now, they do have John Abraham and Shauna Hennessy. And like a lot of what we've seen with these 3-4 defenses, these defensive ends, they're not made for that 3-4. Guys like, you know, Robert Mathis, Julius Peppers, out in Atlanta, you got Croy Bierman, Nofi Umenyora. Tonight, like I said, we're talking John Abraham, Shauna Hennessy. They're not outside linebackers. These guys are defensive ends, so they excel. They can still do some damage pass rushing, but checking tight ends and running backs out the backfield, that's not their cup of tea. And so with that being said, I think that tonight, fantasy football, start Phillip Rivers. He's got a nice set of running backs out the backfield, especially Danny Woodhead. And he's got two good tight ends. Now, I haven't got the official word if Antonio Gates is playing tonight and what the status is on his hamstring. If he's in there, then that really helps out San Diego's passing game because now you have him and Ladarius Green. If Gates is unable to go, Green is still a good target. Obviously, if anybody needs a last-second tight end, grab Ladarius Green tonight because even if Gates is playing, you got to figure his time is going to be limited. You know, the weather's going to be hot in Arizona. But I think that Phillip Rivers can still have success in the passing game. I think that, you know, 250 yards and two TDs is in the cards for him tonight. Like I said, wide receivers is going to be tough. This may be a night that you consider sitting Keenan Allen. He's going to have Patrick Peterson and Antonio Cromartie. You know, Arizona definitely, their secondary is still the strong suit. As Victor mentioned, the Honey Badger, Tyron Matthew was at safety. He's still recovering from an injury. So they got a nasty secondary. But I think that Phillip Rivers is a savvy enough veteran. He knows how to pick his poison. And look, Keenan Allen is establishing himself. I remember last year I sat Keenan Allen when San Diego played at Kansas City because supposedly Kansas City's D was going to be this, that, and, you know, shut him down. And he was facing Brandon Flowers. So sometimes you just got to go with your main guy. I'll say again, it's the first week of the season. Go ahead and play Keenan Allen tonight. I think he's the player who may suffer the most. But I certainly think that Danny Woodhead is an excellent play tonight. I'm quite sure he's probably only room for flex for him. And Ladarius Green, pick him up. As far as the Chargers defense go, underrated, not too sure. You know, I think this game has the potential to get into a semi-shootout, you know, 27-24. I like San Diego to win this game on the road. I think they just have a little bit better of an overall team. tonight, so I would probably wouldn't mess too much with San Diego's defense. But those couple guys I mentioned I thought were worth noting on offense. And then obviously Victor hit on the guys for Arizona. Not a lot of options, but, you know, the Carson Palmer, Fitzgerald, and Floyd should all be good to go. We'll check the status on Ellington. All right, one other thing I wanted to mention, and then we're going to kick it out to McCall. We'll get our final shout-outs and get out of here. That play calling that I was talking about, and this cost, it cost two teams yesterday. Well, actually, it cost two teams for sure. It potentially cost another, and another team was able to get away with it. But the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm a 49ers fan, so you know that I enjoyed it, but how stupid can you be? You've got first and goal from the two-yard line, and you're coming out and shotgun passing the football, and then you get the ball again, getting the same exact predicament, and you throw the ball again, and you've got one of the top 10 running backs in the NFL, and you would prefer on first and goal from the two-yard line, your option is to throw the football from a shotgun formation. Stupidity. All right, and I'm the type of guy, I look at the whole picture. It's not just the quarterback, the offensive coordinator. Now, I think the quarterback gets this a 50-50 split because the coordinator has no business calling that play, but the quarterback should be take the power into his hand and say, you know what, I'm going to call an audible, and we're going to run the freaking football. But that was Dallas's fault. The Chicago Bears, we talk about Jay Cutler in the preseason. Yeah, you know what, Jay Cutler always puts up the numbers. Yesterday, 349 and two TDs. But you know what else Jay Cutler always does? He always finds a way to throw some interceptions. And what did we have yesterday? Another top 10, a top 5 running back in Matt Forte. It's second and one. And what did Chicago decide to do? Go play action, and Cutler throws an interception to a defensive tackle at that in Kyle Williams. We talked about the Washington Redskins not giving Alfred Morris enough of the football. That certainly, I think, cost them to a certain degree in that game. And then Peyton Manning was able to get away with it. But on their very first drive, they had first and goal from the two-yard line and came away with a freaking field goal because we want to pass the ball to Demaryius Thomas three straight times. And so, I don't know. You know, these offensive coordinators, I get it's a passing NFL, and I certainly, you know, I would probably give Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, the top quarterbacks a pass. You know, I look at it a little bit differently because you're a little bit more careful with the football. But, you know, are we trying to play smart football here and win games, or are we playing sandlot football? Because certainly for the Dallas Cowboys and the Chicago Bears, they lost their games yesterday due to porous, and that's inexcusable. Play calling. McCall, go ahead and jump in. Vic, get in behind him, and then let's give our shout-outs and roll up out of here.
Man, you leave nothing left to talk about. I mean, you just ate the whole feast. Well, good gracious. I mean, I like the Chargers tonight. I definitely like them. I am real big on the Chargers this year. I like Phillip Rivers. You definitely want to take him. Kind of got a slight disagreement with you on the wide receivers, though, on that youngin', that big beast of a youngin' they got out there. Yeah, you want to play him. I think it's going to be a good matchup. Honey Badger and them, they good. They a little small, Slim. They a little small. They can get it in on them. So, you know, I'm willing to see it. I'd be willing to play him. You know what I'm saying? I'd be willing to roll the dice on him. But I like your call on the tight end. Definitely want to pick him up. Don't know if Gates going to be in or out. I don't know. But, you know, he's getting older, so you definitely want to pick up that backup tight end. Like I said, you leave me nothing else to talk about. I just was sitting here listening to you.
No. Well, not just that, though. What about this? And I apologize. I will certainly make sure that I leave when I apologize.
No, man.
But please tell me. I wanted your other opinion, though, on this play calling, though. That is really where I was headed with this thing. What's with all this passing on second and one and first and goal?
Yeah, man, that's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous how, you know, it's supposed to be, you know, like you said, I mean, it is just passing league or whatever, but, you know, on obvious downs when you need to run the ball, you need to run the ball. You know, obviously it's probably easier for us now playing, you know, Monday Monday evening armchair quarterbacking, you know, because he threw an interception on that second and one, you know what I'm saying? And he should have ran the ball with Forte, and Alfred Morris damn sure should have gotten way more carries and whatnot. You know, it's easiest for us to say that, but on the second and one, it is a high percentage call to do a play action because, you know, they're expecting to run because it's 1 yard and it's just second down. But when you sit there and you throw an interception and Cutler is known to do that every now and again, even though I like the dude, you know what I mean? I don't think he's an upper echelon quarterback, but he definitely is a good quarterback. I think because of where the NFL's valuation is now, I do believe that he's worth that $100 million contract. I like the way they set it up for him and whatnot. He got to work for it, and they can walk away from it. But you just can't have mistakes like that, man. And then these play callers, like you said, these play callers, you know, they're calling these plays like gamblers. But you know what? The more that they gamble, the better off they are. Look at Norvell Turner. You know what I mean? Norvell Turner calls plays like a casino gambler, Slim. He makes these crazy risky calls, and when they backfire, we talk crap about it. But when it hits, it hits. So I don't know really where to go with that. I really don't know where to go with it. I mean, because if the coordinators hit, you know, we all celebrating them. If they don't hit, we looking at them like, dang, Slim, you should have ran the ball. We should have did it. So, you know, I really don't know where to go with that, but I think you are on to something. I don't know what – I just don't know what it means. You know what I mean? I really – because I can't fathom it. I just don't understand why they're calling these plays the way they're calling them. I really don't.
Okay, definitely. And, Mikal, before real quick, I know you got the hot show jumping here, and you got the Facebook page. Like I said, man, we got to take some time out. My man got close to 50,000 likes on the Facebook page, so why don't you go ahead and drop a dime to get some more listeners over to your show. Let them know when you're doing your thing, and then we'll bring Victor in.
Yeah, you can check us out on Facebook. Type in Grown Soul and Real Talk. You can also, well, the site's down right now, but we're going to be back up and running in October. We're going to have a whole bunch of things going on. So, you know, pay attention. Stay up with us on Facebook. We'll be back to Tuesday nights, you know, each and every Tuesday night. We'll be getting it hot. And, you know, I'll probably go for another, what, year, maybe two, every night and then take a break. But, you know, check us out, man. Thanks a lot, Lance.
Okay, no problem, Mikal. I always appreciate you calling in. Before he gets out of here, let's get a big homie, Mikal. Give him a big round of applause. Definitely appreciate him. He was pretty much rocking with us all preseason long. Victor, go ahead. Chime in for me. Any last comments about the Philly play calling? And, of course, you got plenty of promo and plenty of dimes to drop.
Well, as far as play calling goes, I agree. There has been some play calls thus far. Only been week one that is not, you know, expected. And at some point, you know, it's going to calm down. Hopefully people will realize to use their players to their strengths. As I said, Tavon Austin is one of those players that I think really should be used like Percy Harvin because they're pretty much the same player. Will he get used that way? I don't know. Will the Redskins lean more on Alfred Morris? I don't know. Will the Chiefs give Jamal Charles the ball more than seven times? They should. I don't know what Andy Reid was up to in that game, letting Alex Smith throw three interceptions and not giving the ball to Jamal Charles. So that's kind of silly to me. But other than that, we'll see what happens. It's only week one. As far as what we do here, mm-hmm. every Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You have the Master Plan with JTATM Money along with his co-host, his Robin, his Nightwing, so to speak, Lance, NFL exporter Goodman. Then today, on Monday, during the football season at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Lance is back with the NFL, or not the NFL, Lance, the NFL Explorer, is back with the extra point. 7 p.m., Eastern Standard Time. I may or may not be here. I mean, he can handle it by himself. He's used to talking to himself. He hears voices in his head, just like me. But then, on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, there is Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew Show, Jeff, Black, and Jerry doing their thing, always talking about what's happening in the week of sports and political things as well. I'm quite sure this Thursday the Ray Rice situation is going to be in full effect. As a matter of fact, I'm going to chime in real quick on that. One of my coworkers said Ray Rice is going to sue the NFL for double jeopardy. And I tried to say that he can't. He can't sue them for double jeopardy because the team, not the NFL, the team fired him or, you know, cut him. Now, the NFL claims, as well as the organization, claims they never saw the video, which is hard for me to believe. It's very hard for me to believe. So he might have a point there. But there might be a suit forthcoming with that. So I hope the crew talks about that this Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I don't know.
We need to talk about it so I can straighten you out.
Okay, guy. Okay. On Friday, I'm going to put it out right now. I don't think we're going to have a Friday show anymore, but this Friday will be the telltale sign if we have the No Chaser show. If we do, it's Mac Williams with Jerry Taylor at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time doing what they do, speaking about political actions and stuff like that. The latest topic that I know Jerry wants to talk about, and I don't know if Mac wants to approach or not, it's about this gentleman saying that the young men need to pull their pants up, and that's why they're getting targeted by the police. I think that's not fully accurate. However, that's a topic of discussion because it's a man of color saying this, and he has a lot of other supporters agreeing with him. I disagree. That's not why young men of color are getting targeted. Can't be a contributor. It can be a contributor, but it's not the reason. So I know that's a topic that I want those two guys to talk about, but we'll see what happens. Then on Saturday, it's Mr. FSP, back in the place to be with JTATM Money, doing this show called Fantasy Sports and Politics, where we will prepare you for Sunday's events in professional football. We also want to talk MMA. We want to talk boxing. We want to talk a couple other things as well. So that's every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com. Lance, the floor is yours, and we only have a few minutes left, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. Now, we're going to take you right on out of here. Good stuff, fellas. So make sure to check out Macau. You got his information. Make sure to check out all the hot shows here on the station. We pretty much got stuff on all throughout the week. Definitely want to check in on that show on Saturday because we got the big fight coming up this weekend with Floyd Mayweather and Mayorga. So you definitely want to hear what the guys have to say about that. And then also, too, about the Ray Rice situation, you know, I definitely want to say this. I was emphasizing this on a lot of shows this past week. You're not going to hear it a lot, so it's important that you hear it from somewhere. And best believe me, we're going to find our way to the top. You better believe that because the analysts, everything that we got going on over here is just as good as the stuff that you hear on ESPN, NFL Network. They just got the big bucks. Obviously, they can go in locker rooms. You know, they got licensing with the NFL. You know, they got the cameras. They got everything. But as far as pure analysts, as far as reporting goes, as far as the views, the perspectives that we give you, they are certainly just as good as the stuff that you hear on Fox and on NFL Network and stuff like that. So please don't shy away or think that you are hearing a show that is of a lesser caliber. We are just not syndicated as highly and as much, but best believe we are coming for that spot. We are definitely going to get there. We're going to grind this thing out the next 6 months. You best believe we're going to get there. And what I wanted to say is, in regards to Ray Rice's situation, this situation does not make Ray Rice a bad person. To my knowledge, prior to this incident, and again, we don't know what anybody is doing in their own homes, on their own times. So I don't know what was going on with Ray and his wife prior to that. But this incident does by no means make Ray Rice a bad person. He made a bad decision. He made a bad choice. I know that at the time that the incident happened, they were gambling, drinking. You know, anytime that you're drinking, if you're involved with drugs, things of that nature, you certainly are not going to use your best judgment. You're not going to think things through. I am by no way at all. I have a couple of daughters myself. I love my mother. I love all the women in my family. So I don't condone any type of hitting, period. And ladies, same thing, because women can hit. Women can certainly do things to instigate and bring situations up. But no matter what, it is not okay to put your hands on a woman. You certainly have to exercise self-control. But I just want to say that this situation does not make Ray Rice a bad person. He made a bad choice. He made a bad decision. I certainly hope that he can hold up his end of the bargain. And him and his wife together said that was part of Roger Goodell. I think everybody misses that. Roger Goodell spoke with Ray Rice and his wife together, and they both said that they were going to step up and play a lead role in raising awareness about domestic violence amongst the NFL and youth and stuff like that. And so I certainly hope that Ray Rice can get whatever issues that he has going on worked out. There is always life after football. Football is just a piece of this. I certainly hope that he can be a better man and better than a football player. You know, this is just a business. It's just sports. Certainly hope that he can do that for his wife, you know, children, family members, things of that nature, and step it up there. But I just wanted to put that out there because there's a lot of people out there. You know, Martha Stewart, she went to prison and came out and is doing well for herself. You know, a lot of people have done a lot of things in their life, but it's all about learning from your mistakes and moving on. So I hope Ray Rice certainly, you know, wish him a lot of luck. I know that right now it's kind of a black cloud looming over the situation, but hopefully he can pull things together and get enough opportunity to make things right. And then lastly, as well, you want to check us out every week, The Extra Point. Twitter, I'm at NFL Exporter. That's NFLExporter. Facebook, you can find me, NFL Exporter, as well. And we want to hear from you, man. Please call into the show. That number is always available for you. Make sure I get that to y'all. Don't have it on my screen right now. But we thank everybody for tuning into the show. We're doing big things here, definitely bringing you the top-of-the-line coverage and analysis and everything that you can find. In the last note, I don't know if this Ray Rice, you got to watch the media. It's a very powerful thing. What happened over the weekend, I haven't heard really too many people talk about, but the owner of the Atlanta Hawks, their professional basketball team, you already know we had the Donald Sterling situation. The owner of the Atlanta Hawks, they found emails that he was bad-mouthing black people again. And he's in the process of resigning his position, and I think new ownership is going to be taking over the Atlanta Hawks. So it's kind of interesting at the time that this video was surfacing.
Wait a minute. Hold on. They breaking into people's emails now?
No.
Okay, hold on, fellas. I think, look, I'm gonna let Vic and Jerry and these guys pick up because we got 4 minutes. But I just wanted to put that out there. It's interesting how you really didn't hear too much about that over the weekend. You know, you really didn't hear too much. We got another owner who is making tons of money off of his black African American people living in the city, Atlanta, Georgia, that is dominated by black people who are doing well for themselves and bringing a heck of a lot of money into them Atlanta Falcons and them Georgia Dome and the Phillips Arena, all that stuff. See, we don't mind making money off you, but we got something negative to say. So I'm going to leave that on y'all on your next show. Make sure you research that. But I just think it's very interesting that you didn't hear anything about that today in the media. All the focus was on Ray Rice and this new video breaking out. And see, what that did was it deflected attention away from another very serious incident that went on. So I just say make sure that people you are aware, you know, stay in tune with what's going on. Like I said, I think this will be a great way for the next show that Victor does, obviously, and my man Macau has a huge following. Let's go ahead and put this out there because, yes, the Ray Rice thing is important, but we had another owner, another person in a power of position making tons of money off of us, yet this guy is bad-mouthing, saying that he doesn't want to be around black people and so on and so forth. So that is very important to know, because on these major syndicated shows, they can't tell you stuff like that. They got to work with a closed mouth. they can't put out the information that we're able to put out. We added the freedom over here. So make sure that you take that gem and jewel with you for the day.